dream. They're now adults, and you know, things have worked out pretty well. But yeah, sometimes as parents, we just have to be willing to do that, and it's one of the hardest things a person can do.
Well, a lot of different issues you're facing with the youth of today. Of course, with all the social media and the invasion of their space by the social media and other influences. I was just stating to you earlier before we got on the air that, you know, I would not want to be growing up in today's day and age with all these influences around the kids. I was involved in youth ministry, so I got involved in the space of these young people as well as my kids who are fully grown now. But what did you kind of find in your own experience from your expertise as a learning behavioral specialist? Maybe you could tell me something about that, kind of maybe some of your training or some of your background, and how did that kind of title come upon you in addition to being a parent?
Right. I was looking to do a change in my career and life, and I hadn't gone to college, and I went back to school, and I wasn't really sure where I was going to go. But then I started looking, because one of my own children suffering with mental illness, mm-hmm. I started researching the schools that service these kids when they need more than the regular public school can give.
Huge challenge.
Yes. And so then I found one locally, and I found out they had a swimming pool. And at that time, I was teaching swimming lessons part-time over at the Park District. And because they had free child care, and I had a baby.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Was great.
There you go. Free child care is a big one.
Right. And then I said, oh, do you ever need help here? And they said, yes. And they hired me on to be an assistant in their classroom. And they had very small classes. You're talking like 7 to 10 kids in a room. And the kids had behavioral and learning disorders and a few other things. They had deans of discipline there. These people were all about it. They knew what they were doing. Mm. And they'd been doing it for over 20 years. Anyway, that inspired me, and I thought, this is what I want to get my degree in. I want to work in this field. And so I got my degree, special education, went on to teach. I was at Streamwood High School. I really enjoyed high school.
Now, what part of the country were you from? Or where
Illinois. Were you? I'm a Chicago girl, Chicagoland, Chicago Public Schools.
Challenges in Chicago. I think most people think of Chicago and think of all the crime that's been advertised all over the news shows. And so, hopefully you were in an area where you were able to work in a school, right?
I was living in the suburbs outside of the city at that point. And Streamwood High School, I was out in teaching for that. But one of the things I did with my kids, I had read that with my students there was, they say that nobody ever talks to them, high school students, or ask them anything. So I would open my class every day with, here are the announcements, and I would explain to my kids, because a lot of them, that was part of it, they didn't understand social cues and things like, gee, if there's going to be a homecoming dance, what's required? Well, you got to buy tickets. You got to have clothes for it. You need to ask somebody. If they don't go to our school, you need to get permission for them. You got to think about all these steps. So to help,
what
the
age
kids
were the kids you were working with?
High school. So that's going to be like 14 to actually to 20. At one point, I had a 20-year-old in my freshman biology, which was like, whoa. Mostly 14-year-olds, you know. But he gave them a little touch of reality. When they would complain about something, he'd say, "You have no idea. She's an amazing teacher. She's she's really good." And one of the things I found, it was so easy to motivate the kids. People are like, they won't do anything. They're like, I go to a meeting, they say, this kid won't do anything. I'm like, well, that's funny, because when I hand them paper, if it's a test, they all need a little stimulus. So I'd be like, when you're done, bring it up, and you can take one of these little, you know, a tiny little snack, chocolate things, whatever. And suddenly the kid who would do nothing for a 10-cent little treat is now willing to do the work. Wow, I thought it was worth the 10 cents per kid.
10 cents, a little chocolate, right?
Right, to get the kid who won't do anything. Like, I had one student that he was failing everything. He was 17 years old, and he was in my algebra class. And he was passing my class. He was doing the work. And the head of the department said, you can't pass him. This looks terrible. He's failed everything, but he's passing your class. I said, he shows up and he does the work. What am I supposed to do? You know, I can't help it. He doesn't show up to your class, you know, but... He's
now, was this
in,
class you were teaching specifically based upon the behavioral issues of these kids? Or you mentioned biology, so when you mentioned you had kids who were, you know, behavioral challenged in many ways, what exactly were you teaching?
So I was teaching the regular classes, and I had what they called cross-categorical. So most of the kids were either learning or behaviorally challenged. Mm-hmm. So that meant you're going to have some kids in there that are geniuses but don't want to do anything, along with the kids that really don't understand. Like, I had a student in the pre-algebra one time when I said, you know, we're doing something, and I think it was like, you know, in 5 minus 3 and the answer is 2. And she says, my calculator says 3. And she's going to argue with me. Okay, Lord, give me patience. Like,
that was like, just a public school you were in?
Yes, public schools. Yes. Okay. So you're using the regular curriculum. You're just trying to break it down a little more, give them a little more help, walk them through the steps a little bit more, and handle some of those other issues. But anyway, I would give the kids a voice at the beginning of the class. So I'd do the daily announcements. This is what's going on. And then I would say, does anybody have anything they want to share? And it can be, I got a new dog, I'm going to the dentist, whatever. And I gave them a voice
there.
So maybe, you know, they got a new haircut and nobody's noticed and they want to send something and to finally get acknowledged.
Well, I know my son had some issues, and chalk and talk, they call it, is not really the best strategy to teach every child. There's a little different learning methods that kids have, and so it sounds like you were trying to incorporate different methods with these kids a little bit to help them.
Sure, to draw them in, yes, and to find out. And you know, in some ministry I do outside of there too, it's the same thing that's with the behavioral. You have to find what will motivate a person. If they don't like chocolate, that is not going to motivate them.
Right.
You know, new shoes, maybe one kid, you know, is all about them, the other one, he could care less. So you have to find out what motivates. And I found, like, even with the homeless groups for the behavior stuff, everybody's stuck with something. They're stuck somewhere. They're usually, they're going to tell you a story about, but this happened, but this, and they want to keep telling you, but so-and-so did this to me. Are they still, and they can't seem to get past it. And you got to try to help them get past whatever it is they're stuck on.
Well, I would imagine if you're in a public school, which is what you're talking about right now, it's very different than if you're in a Christian school or other kind of school. You have to be careful, I would imagine, in this class you're describing about these different behavioral type people you were working with. So I would imagine you had to be a little cautious, but it presents a little different challenge than if you're in a Christian school where you could talk about God and faith
and
pray. I mean, did you have to kind of prance around that a little
bit? I did. But you know what? I always took advantage of any holiday that the school acknowledged. You know, if it was Easter, let's talk about Easter, you know, and what it is, you know, why you have it off and what's being celebrated, or Christmas and things like that. So you know, I would always try to incorporate that any way I could with using
so knowing your children is kind of a big start, it sounds like, for you to get to know the people that you were trying to teach.
Well, absolutely. And you know, that pretty much comes with most, you know, scenarios in life. Relationship is the key. And you know, can you talk to them, can you connect with them some way? Sadly, there's a few that I always felt like, for whatever reason, I couldn't connect with them, but others you did, and you just have to take the wins where you get them and where you see it. But, you know, when you have a student, they'll tell you, like, you know, I never met anyone like you. I'm like, is that a good thing?
Yeah, right.
It was. Yeah, they were saying that, you know, the other teachers didn't seem to care or give them things, you know.
Well, it seems like you must have been thrown into a little bit of a mixing bowl with all these different ingredients now, whereas in a normal class with kids who are supposedly normal, we want to use that word, it would be a more of a standard format of teaching. But you had these group of kids that came in with these behavioral issues, so it must have been challenging, but kind of exciting in a way to find out about
it. You had to cater to each one, you know, like some students who were barely getting by. And like if it was a multiple choice thing, I had one student in science, I had to take it down to just two choices. But she was always there and she always tried and she always did the work and, you know, and she gave every effort, but that was her ability level that I had to take it down.
Now, was this after you got your degree, or were you put in there in a way, it's kind of be thrown in the deep end when you started this class?
Well, when I was at the special school, I was just an assistant, and so, no, I didn't get to do too much of that. I got to be, you know, part of that world. So, no, it was when I went into my own classroom, you know, or like with the kids to motivate them, you know, like, gee, I have these colored pens here. Who wants to use a pink or green or blue one? And this, you know, the kid that doesn't, I'm not doing this stupid, is like, oh, okay, I'll do it if I get to use this cute pen, you know. And
now, these were high school kids. In what specific grade would these kids be in at the time you were with them?
Well, so algebra and...
That's like a ninth grade thing, right?
It is, and physical science, right? I also did a geometry, so 10th grade.
10th grade, yeah.
Then they gave me U.S. history, which was 11th grade.
Wow.
And U.S. history, and And then just for fun, they said, next year we're going to have you go to another school, be a traveling teacher. And we need you to give relief to this teacher that's with the severe and profound. And these are kids with IQs below 30. And people are like, what?
Yeah, what is right?
These are materials. Come up with it yourself. And I was told that I was going to teach math. And when I get there, they say, like the day before, you know, to set up the class, they say, oh, no, we need you to do civics and government. And there's no materials. So.
And these are for kids with an IQ under 30.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, except for one in the class who was in there because he had severe autism and they didn't know where else to put him. And he was more intelligent, but yeah. For that, and I'm like, so for what the class am I going to do? So these are kids where I've got one that's drooling, another one's laughing hysterically every 5 minutes for no reason whatsoever. You know, another one just kind of sits there. I had one that worked really well. It was only like five students, and there's five adults in the classroom. It takes a lot of people for kids at this level. Some of them are wearing diapers. And you're like, I'm supposed to teach them 11th grade civics and government?
Don't you think that anybody listening to this is going to be doing just what you're doing now? You're putting your hands in your face going, what are we supposed to do? And it almost reminds me that the schools in the United States of America probably suffer from having teachers who are overwhelmed by what's in front of them.
Yes.
And again, because the kids present so many issues that just weren't happening 20, 30 years ago
because of
the breakdown of the family, which I think is huge, right? The kids are coming into you with these issues that make teaching such a challenge.
And with these kids that have so many issues, they never miss a day.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
Thank you for the wonderful ministry, 89.9. My name's Joe. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Did you serve in the military? I'm the home lady, founder of Operation Veteran Home Ownership. We help veterans use their VA home benefit. You earned it. Now use it, military. More information, call 800-229-9792.
Hi, this is Pastor Anthony Cillian of Christ World Evangelism, a ministry of Christ World Prayer Church. I am personally inviting you to our annual Good Friday healing service. Join us on Good Friday, April 18th at 7 p.m. We are located at Palm Beach Gardens Elementary, 160 Riverside Drive, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 33410. For more information, call 561-264-1200. That's 561-264-1200. Have a glorious day in Christ.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
Are you or a loved one unable to live alone because of medical reasons? Albert's Manor offers accommodations for seniors or persons with disabilities. They provide quality and professional care in a beautiful, safe, and loving environment. You can reach them at 772-626-3500.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecovered.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-582.